Greetings to the online and the adventurous alike. Hi, I'm Matt Pikin, creator, host, and tour guide for a new podcast called Art Like You Mean It. Now, the entire focus of this program is on artists who create work with social and civic consciousness and conviction.
I have a responsibility, a social responsibility as an artist. For me, anyway, what I've learned through the arts and performing in the arts, it's always the arts are a microcosm of the larger world that can really change the world in a positive way.
My first guest today is Steve Heitzig. He's a composer who describes himself as an advocate for the peaceful coexistence of all species through music. And he has followed through on that by composing orchestral and chamber music addressing social and ecological concerns. Alongside traditional music, Heitzig calls on stones, birch bark, wind chimes, acorns, manatee bones, sea glass shards and seashells, and other instruments found in nature. He's written more than 90 works performed by Minnesota Orchestra, Dale Warland Singers, Vocal Essence, and the major symphony orchestras of Philadelphia, Atlanta, Houston, and Detroit. He's received a regional Emmy Award and was named Composer of the Year at the 2000 Minnesota Music Awards. Welcome, my first guest, Steve Heitzig.
Thank you, Matt. Privileged to be here.
I'm glad to have you here. And one of the reasons I wanted to have you on the show immediately is because I think most people don't think of composers as having social or civic or political issues underlying their music. They think of rock stars, perhaps, but not classical music composers. Were there any classical composers who were models for you in terms of putting social justice issues or ecological issues in your music?
I mean, we've got Penderecki writing his Threnody to the victims of Hiroshima. You have Britten being a pacifist with his War Requiem. There's numerous examples. John Cage and his love of nature.
Sure.
And Philip Glass' anti-war statements of his through many of the film scores that he recently has done. And his Buddhism.
Did you go into composing already with that sort of underlying mission, or did that come through time?
Came through time. I have always loved nature and been attracted to nature and animals and sounds. So I think it just sort of evolved as I wrote more and more of my pieces eventually just became all about either social justice, peace, or animals as I, you know, grew up and saw the situation in the world. You never know.
Were you ever worried that by having this sort of mission that it would pigeonhole you or put you in sort of this narrow cast that, you know, orchestras will say, oh, he's the guy who does this kind of work and we can't, you know, we don't want to compose that. You know, were you ever worried about, you know, being seen in a narrow niche?
I wasn't worried about that because I needed to do that because that's really who I am as an artist. That's really what comes through in my music. So to do anything different would be sort of to be lying to myself and to my art. As a rule, the artists pretty much have free rein, and that's a real tribute to the subculture of orchestras and other what the arts really exemplify.
I want to play a piece right now that probably isn't fair for me to play because most of your music is very soft, ethereal, very melodic, very warm, very lilting, has a lot of softer but also very intense emotional qualities to it. This is a small snippet of a piece called Endangered from your Earthworks CD, Music in Honor of Nature. And I wanted to play it because it was different from what I hear in your music. Sounds seem to come from out of nowhere in this one portion, and while the rest of the piece is very soft and understated, this one jumps out at you, and I wanted to play it for listeners now.